flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, welcome back to The Drive. Jonathan Alexander, who writes for the Houston Chronicle, covers the Texans each and every day, every week, every game. He's out there for the last several years. Jonathan, man, we appreciate you coming in studio and joining us. Say hello to the people on YouTube and Twitch.
There you What's up, YouTube?
There you go.
I appreciate y'all having me on, man.
All right. We saw the story you wrote earlier today and talked about the three main reasons that there was issues with this Texans offense. Before we kind of dive into that, I just want to get, what was your sense of, I think, shock and surprise from all the people in the organization that you talked to of how the offense went this year?
Yeah, I think when you talk to the many people involved, they legitimately thought that the offense was going to be the strength of this team. And a lot of people did. And it's reasonable when you add, you know, Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs, an already explosive offense. And then, you know, from the beginning, from training camp, there were struggles. And then it led into the beginning of the season and the offensive line, you know, was really bad, extremely bad. You know, unfortunately, I mentioned in the article, unfortunately, the big five that they had put together only played two games together, which was crazy when I looked at the totality of it. And they were 2-0 in those games. And who knows what they might have looked like, you know, had they played a lot of games together and maybe figured it out. But ultimately, it came down to that offensive line, and they didn't give C.J. Stroud enough protection, didn't give the offense enough time to have routes that developed downfield, and it ultimately was the lead to the demise of the offense.
You know, it's interesting because I think there's some validity to that, but there's also something about it's an offensive coordinator and a quarterback's job to protect their offensive line. And when I say that, I mean, I'm talking 80-85% of the time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they thought the O-line was going to be better than they were, and so they thought they were going to have the ability to do these things, or if they were reckless with it and just said, hell, we just going to do it and see what happens, right? But they did, those two units didn't do a very good job individually or together in protecting their offensive line. So those guys were hung out to dry consistently regardless of who was starting. And it was done for what, Jonathan? I mean, 8 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, I think in my mind, I marked the Detroit game as a game where it seemed like things kind of swung into, okay, we're going to schematically do some different things and approach. The interesting thing to me, Jonathan, is when you're saying that, I'm thinking, man, the offense was so good last year. Why? I understand why you add win now pieces, but why shift gears from what we watched a historic year from C.J. Stroud, a coming out party for Nico Collins? Like, why the change in approach to offensive football?
Yeah, I think it's a couple of things. Number one, give me 1 second, fellas.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to handle something, and just give me 1 minute.
You got a little news. We got, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Uh-oh.
Hey. We'll sit our happy asses right here. This is real time right here. Let me set the scene. If you're not on YouTube and Twitch, Jonathan Alexander is clearly in the midst of some sort of news, potentially, and he is going back and forth with a source. And like, if you want to break this news right now on here, we will break this news right here. And I'll be honest, Jonathan, you're not going nowhere until
bro, this news. Said, we got 3 hours and 15 more minutes, man.
I will
sit
make
right
the
there.
Executive decision, and Parker can come say it, and we will drive through the break.
Well, real quick, while he's working on that news, Ron, the article is out, and I do think it is a good article, a good deep dive into the good, bad, the ugly of this 2024-25 Texans offense. What just your thoughts on the article, where you can find it, because I'm sure people are wanting to dig into that.
Yeah, no, and we'll get with Jonathan here. On these, are you you got some news?
Yeah. So the Texans are parting ways with their team president, Greg Grissom, and that is on Houston Chronicle, and I think the Houston Texans are announcing that simultaneously as well.
Yeah, the PR department did just get it out.
Who was hired there in 2021?
All right, so Greg Grissom, he is
my fellow Ginger,
Ginger Nation.
We've talked to Greg a lot here, and he's done great work here since he's been here. It looks like, according to Jonathan Alexander, you're hearing that first right here on the Drive, Sports Radio 610, Jonathan Alexander of the Chronicle, Greg Grissom. And he's been the team president for the Texans, done a lot of great stuff on the business side. They are parting ways with him. So that is news. And that, I'm guessing, may not be, especially with this article you wrote today, may not be the last name we hear that they're parting ways with. Moving forward. But within that article, you talked about the three major reasons that continue to pop up with the amount of people you talked to. We talked about a little bit about the offensive line, but go into what kept coming up when you were talking to people.
Well, Clint made a good point, and I wanted to address that. You know, protection calls have been in the past 2 years have been on the center to make the check calls and the protection calls. And I really do believe that the Texans, you know, you brought up a point. I thought they made a gamble when they decided to proceed forward with Kenyon Green and then move Juice Scruggs from left guard to center, even though that was his natural position. And I also don't think they anticipated Shaq Mason would have a drop in his production. Those three guys kind of gave up the most pressures at their respective positions midway through the season.
Yeah.
And I thought, gambling on that instead of maybe perhaps investing in a left guard to compete with Kenyon Green, I think really hurt the Texans down the line. And they didn't see that drop in production from those three guys coming. And I think that was a huge part in why they struggled.
I think the biggest, the most inexcusable.
I mean, they didn't see it coming potentially at all.
They should have seen it coming, but they didn't see. They assumed that Kenyon Green was going to make a leap, and we could argue, should they have thought that? I definitely disagree as well, given how Green had played in his first 2 years. But they thought him having lost weight in the offseason, they thought that he would make a jump, and he obviously did not.
Well, the interesting thing there is I could see where you would think that he would make a jump, and I don't fault him for that. Look, I mean, that's a top 15 draft pick, man. You got to try to make that work as best you can. The problem is that your fallback plan was moving
Kendrick Green.
Or moving your center to guard and putting in a sixth round draft pick that was a backup as a center and having to run the season with him. The backup plan, and I understand the Texans couldn't make every move and make every adjustment and address every position this offseason. They've made a bunch of win now moves. There were, as a second year really program under D'Amico Ryans, they weren't going to be able to fill every void and answer every question in one offseason. So I understand that. But if we're talking specifically about the O-line, the depth and the backup plan not being anything more than moving your center to guard, who was inexperienced at both positions, and a depth center bumping up and Jarrett Patterson in play, and that just seems like a major, major mistake. But the offensive line obviously is one. What else did you uncover?
You know, obviously the execution in critical situations, they failed to execute on small plays, and it obviously led to a lot of the busted plays. Like, one of the main situations that I remember was that Chiefs game, that first Chiefs game, where they threw those three straight screen passes, and there were three different reasons why those screens didn't work.
Yep.
One was a bad throw from CJ. One, Nico caught it at the wrong angle, and then another one, Xavier Hutchinson missed a block. Now, it was those type of things that led to the Texans not executing. One of the more interesting comments I thought was from Joe Mixon, and he didn't call out any names, but he thought that initially guys were really trying to hunt for stats. And it took them to the end of the season after that Ravens game to realize, like, okay, we got to go with our identity, and we got to do whatever it takes. We got to follow Bobby Slowick And this is what it's going to take to play better offense. And he thought that they did that late in the year.
Yeah, Jonathan, we actually, and I pulled that audio from Cody Stoots, I believe it was, with Joe Mixon, but making the comment that you're talking about. And it was interesting, Ron, because I remember you and I having a conversation back when these comments were made, and you'll remember this, Tank Dell talking about wanting 1,100 yards or whatever it is, and Nico Collins wants 10 touchdowns, and we both looked at each other, Jonathan, and was like, look, ain't nothing wrong with it, but it is a polar opposite, again, from what was coming out.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Out of the mouths of the players and the organization the year before when their offense was as good as it. Right. But no, if you remember correctly, 2 years ago, Tank Dell and Nico Collins, it was, hey, I'll do whatever team needs me to do. Whatever coach asks me to do, I'll do it. It wasn't 10 touchdowns, 1,100 yards. It wasn't 100 catches. It wasn't none of that stuff. And again, there's nothing wrong with that, but it is like not acknowledging that that is a shift in mindset of your key players is critical, right? It's interesting that we're sitting here now, you know, a year later, and you're looking back and one player's mentioning guys being focused on stats instead of just winning ball.
Yeah, yeah. And he, you know, he was telling the truth. And I think it was a little bit difficult. You got to kind of realize, too, each of those guys were used to being the number one man. And I don't think all of those guys were being selfish. I don't think they were getting mad at each other. I think it was something that they had to get used to. I mean, just think about it. When they came in, you had Joe Mixon, Nico Collins, Steph Diggs, Nico Tank Dell, and Dalton Schultz in that order. And Tank Dell was used to being 1A, 1B.
Yeah.
You know, Nico Collins remained 1A, but Steph Diggs was used to being 1A.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon was used to being 1A. And all of a sudden, these guys have to share the load. And I don't think they purposely were going at each other, but I think it was something that they had to get used to.